Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring virtual meetings, online presence, and communication behavior. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
So, I mean, let's start by framing where we are right now with all of this.
Yeah, we really need to look at the current reality. Virtual communication, it's just, it's not a backup plan anymore.
Right, not at all.
No, yeah. It's a permanent fixture. Academic learning, remote collaboration, regular workplace interactions, it's all happening on screen. So every single time you log into platforms like, you know, Zoom, Google Meet, Microsoft Teams, you are actively building your digital credibility.
Or damaging it.
Exactly, or damaging it. Your digital presence is literally writing your professional reputation in real time, frame by frame.
Okay, let's unpack this, because logging into a virtual meeting without any preparation is, well, it's essentially like walking into a physical boardroom in your pajamas. That is a perfect way to put it.
Right. I mean, people notice instantly, and it shapes their entire perception of your professionalism.
They absolutely do. And the stakes of getting this wrong are incredibly high. The immediate risk of poor virtual behavior is, it's a severe drop in engagement.
People just tune out.
Yeah, they tune out.
Yeah.
But we have to look at why they tune out.
Yeah.
It comes down to this concept of digital cognitive load.
Digital cognitive load. Okay, what exactly is that?
So when your audio is scratchy, or you're like sitting in the dark, or your background is just this chaotic, messy room, you're actually forcing the brains of everyone else on the call to work harder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're spending all this subconscious processing power trying to filter out your background noise or interpret your face in the shadows.
Which means they have less mental energy to process what you're actually saying.
Precisely. It drains the team.
That makes so much sense. It's just exhausting to look at. And then distractions multiply and teamwork falls apart.
And you wind up with this totally unprofessional impression without even realizing you caused it.
But, I mean, I have to push back on this for a second. It's really easy to blame the technology for a bad meeting. Like, oh, my Wi-Fi is terrible, or this app update is clunky. How much of this is actually just basic human behavior amplified by a screen?
It is overwhelmingly human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, software platforms, they don't make you distracted. They just make your distraction hyper-visible to everyone else.
Right, hyper-visible.
Yeah, and this brings us to the core concept of virtual presence. It's the idea that your online behavior dictates how others perceive your professionalism entirely independently of the software you're using.
So it doesn't matter if it's Zoom or Teams, it's about you.
Exactly. And when you manage your virtual presence well, it acts as this massive amplifier. You lower the barrier for everyone else's attention, which leads to heightened engagement, way more personal credibility, and just better teamwork.
So since our online behavior pretty much dictates our professional perception, how do we actually control that behavior? Like, what are the actionable strategies?
Well, there are a few core strategies. First, preparing before the meetings. Second, using professional backgrounds and environments. And third, participating actively and respectfully.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting, because I feel like active participation is something we totally gloss over.
Oh, for sure.
Just being logged in isn't enough, right? I really want you, the listener, to consider this. How often do you just hide behind a muted mic and an off-camera setup?
A lot of people do it. It becomes this cozy comfort zone.
It totally does. But isn't constant camera on participation just exhausting? I mean, doesn't it cause Zoom fatigue?
That's a highly relevant challenge, yeah. Zoom fatigue is very real, but it's mostly caused by what we call the mirror effect.
The mirror effect, like staring at yourself.
Exactly. Staring at your own face for hours on end is this unnatural psychological strain. Humans just weren't meant to do that.
Yeah.
But the solution isn't to turn your camera off completely.
What should we do instead?
You just right-click your video feed and select Hide Self View.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, so you keep your camera on for the team, but you remove the mirror for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you turn your camera off, you're withholding nonverbal communication, which is like 70 to 90% of how humans communicate.
Right. You're depriving the team of visual feedback loops.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's shift this from, you know, abstract advice to a tangible real world outcome. Let's talk about the case study of a student who actually applied these strategies.
Yeah, this is a great example. So this student decided to adopt stronger virtual communication habits. They prepared before class, engineered their environment to have natural light, put the webcam at eye level, and committed to active participation.
So they didn't just sit there like a black box.
Right. They kept their camera on, offered visual feedback, used the chat function, and the outcome was incredible. First, their academic engagement soared.
Because they were forcing themselves to pay attention.
Exactly. But the really huge win was when they landed an internship.
Okay, so how did it translate?
Those exact same habits, preparing, managing the digital environment, giving nonverbal feedback, they directly translated into stellar performance in these high-stakes corporate meetings.
Wow. So that bridge between university life and the professional world, it's built on these exact same skills.
Absolutely.
So think about that for a second. If a simple change in digital habits can boost an internship, what could it do for your first major career role?
It's massive. And it connects directly to the collaborative nature of work. It brings us to this core concept of meeting etiquette.
Right, because individual habits affect the whole team.
Exactly. Respectful virtual behavior.
Yeah.
It isn't just about looking good for the boss. It's the actual support structure for productive meetings.
And a big part of that support structure is minimizing distractions.
Right. Well, absolutely. It's a crucial strategy. And what's fascinating here is that minimizing distractions is actually a form of responsible technology use.
Wait, really? Because when I hear responsible technology use, I usually think about, you know, data privacy or not clicking phishing links.
Most people do.
So how does minimizing distractions in a meeting fit into that?
Well, because human attention is your most valuable currency. When you minimize your own distractions, like closing email tabs or putting your phone in another room, you are showing profound respect for your colleague's time.
I love that. Attention as a currency.
Right. You're creating a safer, more focused environment for teamwork. It's the ethics of digital collaboration.
Okay, so we've covered the why and the what, but we need a concrete system to ensure we are practicing this every single day. How do we build this habit?
You need to create a virtual meeting professionalism checklist. It's built on 4 required pillars.
I highly suggest you actually write this checklist down and stick it right next to your monitor. So let's walk through it. What's pillar number one?
Number one is preparation. Testing audio, adjusting lighting, reviewing the agenda, all the stuff before you join.
Got it. And pillar two.
Number two is participation. Engaging actively, keeping the camera on, using the chat appropriately.
Perfect. Pillar three.
Communication behavior. Managing your professional environment and minimizing those personal distractions we just talked about.
Okay. And the final pillar, number four.
Follow-up practices. Sending deliverables, summarizing action items, ensuring the communication quality continues after the call ends.
Preparation, participation, communication behavior, and follow-up practices. Write those down. And as you're doing that, I want to ask you this exact reflection prompt to think about. How can I present myself more professionally in virtual communication environments?
It's such a vital question to ask yourself continuously because your virtual presence is never static.
It's always evolving. So let's synthesize this. What are the key takeaways here?
Basically, it boils down to this. Virtual presence affects your credibility. Preparation improves your participation. Respectful behavior strengthens communication. And professional habits will ultimately improve your digital reputation.
So let's do a quick knowledge check right now. Just ask yourself right now, why is virtual professionalism important to you? How is preparation going to improve your next meeting? And why must you minimize those distractions?
Yeah, if you can answer those, you're on the right track.
Absolutely. So to everyone listening, stay curious, stay responsible, and stay future ready. Please review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities to lock this all in.
And if you want to dive even deeper, I highly recommend checking out the books mentioned in our reading materials, Remote, The Culture Code, and Talk Like TED. They are excellent resources. And thank you all so much for joining us for this deep dive.
Yes, thank you. Before you go, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. If our digital reputation is built one virtual meeting at a time, what did your very last virtual meeting say about your professional brand? Were you ready to lead, or were you basically walking into the boardroom in your pajamas? Catch you next time.